When I sit on one of the porches and read, it's not uncommon to notice people going for a walk, and sometimes they walk with a friend or a family member, and it's pretty common to see folks walking and talking together. Some folks walk with their dog, and they talk to their dogs as well every once in a while. And since it's Holidaysburg and some folks have fancy-dancy dogs, I suspect that some dogs even talk back. Jesus did a lot of walking and talking. Last week we were told that he left Tyre and went by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and then into the region of the 10 cities, the Decapolis. This weekend we are told that he set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Some biblical scholars suggest that based upon the Gospels, it's estimated that Jesus walked over 3,000 miles during his 3 years of ministry. Others estimate that during his earthly lifetime, he walked over 21,000 miles. All that without wearing a Fitbit. That's a lot of walking and that's a lot of talking. One exception, the donkey ride into Jerusalem, and that was a very short ride. Along the way, Jesus asked his disciples, "What do people think about me? Who do people say that I am?" Without access to the newspaper or the web, without Twitter and tweets, without Snapchat and Facebook and blogs. Who do people think that I am? What are they saying about me? And the disciples kind of chime in. Well, some say you're like John the Baptist. Others say you're like Elijah. Some say you're like Jeremiah or Ezekiel or any one of the prophets. They say you're a prophet. But then Jesus gets personal. What about you? Who do you think I am? What do you say about me? Peter seems to give a quick response. You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. Now, Peter, like most folks at that time, probably defined Messiah as a political liberator who would finally free the people of Israel from the tyranny of Roman occupation. Sadly, the experience of cruel oppression was not foreign to the Israelites. They started out as slaves in Egypt, and once they were settled in the Promised Land, they had been invaded by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, the country we now call Iraq. They were invaded as well by the Persians, the country we now call Iran. They were invaded by the Greeks and occupied by the Romans. Surely the Messiah would triumphantly conquer the oppressors and liberate God's people. They're the chosen people. Why wouldn't the Messiah do that? Much to Peter's disappointment, Jesus the Christ, the Son of Man, must suffer greatly, be rejected by the religious leaders, killed, and then rise. Can you imagine Peter's shock in being told to get out of my way? Peter, who was the rock, becomes a stumbling block, a stumbling stone for Jesus. Is Jesus the Messiah, as he describes himself, the type of Messiah you want? Is Jesus the Messiah, the type of Messiah I want? If he ran for office, I suspect that most of us would not vote for him. He promised no military power. He promises no financial success. How do you preach and live a gospel that includes self-denial, cross-carrying, and discipleship, following, within a culture and within a church that has sometimes been preoccupied with power and pleasure and self-centered independence? While our current moment in history is dealing with the scandal of sexual abuse and the silence that hid it, there are plenty of other stumbling blocks and scandals that can also get in our way. St. James makes mention of the scandal, the stumbling block of ignoring or dismissing people who lack the basic necessities of life, like the right to life, shelter, food and clothing, the necessity of decent health care, a necessary place to find protection when you're being oppressed. While we also need to provide the necessities that victims of abuse require so that they can experience help, healing, and hope. To be honest, there are times when I would like a Messiah who was a bit more triumphant and dramatic in my life, in the life of the church, and in the world. But a loving, suffering, and risen Messiah is who we have. And that loving, suffering, and risen Messiah is still with us. In the words of today's psalm, he will hear our voices in supplication. He will save us from distress and sorrow. He will free our feet from stumbling. Like Jesus, we walk and talk, but we also run and talk and ride and talk, work out and talk, play and talk. And sometimes we even talk about Jesus. And that's what disciples are to do. And our encounter, our communion with Jesus, who has founded us and gathered us together as church, is a grace-filled and necessary experience. He continues to suffer for us, and he suffers with us. The rejection he felt and the rejection we sometimes feel is real and is painful. But his risen presence still has the power to save our lives.